Welcome. This is she, and here on the North American continent, we have a conjunction. It's Jupiter and the moon, and wow, it's really, really steamy, really beautiful, perfect conjunction from where I stand. So that's pretty magical. And tonight we're going to talk about removing obstacles. Oftentimes we don't realize that we have obstacles within us that we create until we're situated in an experience or circumstance that they rear their ugly head to us, let's say, a metaphor or a cliche statement. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to talk about obstacles and how we can, especially when we're in the line of fire, use those moments to liberate, transform the situation, and actually rise up above the situation and move forward rapidly, not being held back. More than not, that I've experienced in my entire life in this human body, I've noticed that every time an obstacle occurs, whether it's self-created or appears to be created from an outside force, that it's an opportunity for me to expand. So first we're going to talk about the discomfort that sometimes appears. Then we'll go into some practices, and we're going to slowly move through these tonight in a little bit more of a yin fashion, because obstacle is this force, meaning that it's pushing potentially or just standing there really firmly that appears we can't move past it. So that's why we're going to use a little bit of yin energy tonight to show how we can meld and move effortlessly through the situation. Before we do that, I'm going to start out with a poem entitled Rhapsody. We will start there, and then we're going to dive into the mantra for Ganesh. Ganesh is an icon that actually, when we chant different forms of the mantra for Ganesh, is we are invoking the remover of all obstacles. We're welcoming in flow, prosperity, health, wellness, whatever it might be. Now, these practices, some people might resort immediately when they're in dire straits to the mantra. It's really a nice practice if you like to invoke removing the obstacles on a regular basis. And when they're not needed for self, dedicate your mantras to those that are having difficulties. That is a really beautiful way to be in service to the entire universe and to the entire world system. So I'm going to lead in with the poem, then we'll go straight to the mantra. During that time, I want you to use this time to ground down into your moment wherever you are, whether you're in motion or preferably if you can sit during this segment, and take a moment just to be in repose, connect with that yin energy, connect with the mantra, and then with the breath. So as you're listening to the music and the chant, bringing the chant up through your entire body and then releasing through the mouth. And as you release through the mouth, imagine that each one of those things that's holding you back in your life, you're releasing them out into the universe or into Gaia. Be really intentional that you're sending them to be converted into something positive. You're not sending this energy on to anyone else. So just release it. Don't make it about anyone. Just make it that you can release the energy and welcome in the new. So with that being said, just close your eyes and take a deep, deep breath, breathing in and out. Again, deep breath in and out. One more time, deep breath in and out. Rhapsody, two energetic fields expound energy from within. Rendezvous in the still of the night. One brief moment of lucid ecstasy. Inhalation, exaltation, expansion, contraction, a shudder, a rapture, composing the euphoric melody.
Oh.
well. Take a deep breath and reconnect to this moment and feel the lift. So the mantra practice is a beautiful practice. These are relatively based on our remembrance, consider our ancient texts, but the sounds, the vibrational sounds of these Vedic mantras are used in prayer and have been used in prayer for thousands and thousands of years to intentionally welcome in something. So these are great practices. You can hold the sounds and bring the energy that it was originally invoked for yourself, welcoming it in. And then also it's a great tool to lead into stillness. Oftentimes when we have obstacles in our life, we go into what we've discussed in the past, that fight or flight. We become panicked or we become stressed or we're in a traumatic or shock situation and it doesn't allow us to take a step back. So again, this is why we bring in some of that yin energy as we talked about. If you're in a 911 situation, this is the perfect time to be still. Less is more. So just as we did the mantra, that can help quiet the mind because, again, if we are in a difficult situation or a challenging situation that we don't have clarity on, the mantra practice can lead us into silent meditation. And then you sit there and allow the mantra just to drop away and be in the complete silence and allow yourself to slip into what's known as the gap, the void. And that's where we really can align our whole mind-body energetic system with this world system, with the universe, and get clarity as to what is next. So first I want to talk about obstacles and how it relates to discomfort. So when something tends to happen, what appears to be an obstacle, it's like if you're walking down the street and you see a brick wall and you're like, gosh, I need to get to the other side, but I'm not going to be able to get through here because it's a dead end. So that can feel like an obstacle. But really, you could just turn around, maybe walk three blocks over, back around. Maybe it takes you a little bit longer, and then you get on the same ley line or the next few blocks over street, and you keep moving. So this is all really that is in life. When we are faced with an obstacle, maybe we really wanted something to happen a certain way, and universe is like, nope, nope, you keep trying. Nope, sorry, ma'am, that's not going to work. So that's all that's happening when we have these situations. Maybe we want something to happen, or maybe something tragic has happened, and we keep trying to make something different happen because we don't want to have to walk through that passage. And this is the discomfort phase. This is the phase where we have to think about surrendering to all possibilities. So it doesn't mean in that moment that you have to give up to get on the same street. It means that maybe you're going to get on that street a little bit different way. Maybe all of a sudden you're going to be Spidey man or woman and be able to scale a tall building and jump over. Maybe all of a sudden you get a helicopter ride over there, or you walk, or you realize you, as you're walking to get on that street, you're intercepted by someone else and you totally forget about that street and you're actually meant to go the other direction. So this is what happens, but when we're not willing to let go, when we're so discomforted by a situation, we hold on. And so I've shown this before, but this is a really simple thing to do, is to open and close our hands, just letting go. Letting go of that which causes us strife, anxiety, that which we hold in our physical body, and then release. So you breathe in and out, and just do that practice right now. Hold the hands closed, and then as you exhale, release them. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Beautiful. And when you're doing that, it's just a practice. So if you're really feeling so attached to something in your life and you can't get past it and you really want to, pick up a stone, hold it in your hand, and practice releasing it. And you might just release it into the other hand. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. And each time we let go, it gets a little easier. And the more uncomfortable we are, more than likely, this is some of the most significant work we will do in this lifetime. The more painful it is, you know that you're getting to an actual, real close place of liberation. And if you've been there already, you know how painful it is to be in that spot. But also, if you've been there and moved past it, you know how freeing it feels. And you can't even actually completely remember going back to the pain if you've truly liberated yourself past that moment. So it's a complete choice in that moment. And you might choose, I want liberation past this. I want to move past this obstacle that hurts or appears to be so challenging that I'm not going to make it. And when you choose that, that gives you the strength to go forward. There still might be some emotions as you move through that. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes there's a healing trajectory in that process. So again, opening and closing the hands is a great way to practice this, especially if you're not in that immediate situation. It's a great way to practice it. So bringing the breath in, breathing in and out. Breathing in and out. Again, deep breath in and out. So the discomfort, the simplest way to move past that discomfort, other than metaphorically and practicing letting go, is to actually bring in the practice of solitude and meditation and to sit through it. There is nothing anyone is physically going to be able to do to help you pass that. They might be able to temporarily provide a Band-Aid or a numbing agent or relief for a moment. And if you're in an extreme situation, it's important for you to seek out that triage help. But once you're through triage and your time is to be spent in recovery, that's the time that some alone time will really, really, really benefit you. So I want you just to, again, think about that as you think about letting go and opening yourself to being a little uncomfortable and what that might mean if you are uncomfortable. So as you contemplate that, ask yourself in your life, am I uncomfortable right now? Am I in a lot of stress, anxiety in my existing life? Am I feeling like I'm coming up against obstacle over obstacle and I'm really ready to let go and maybe do some things differently? And have I been holding on to certain things out of dependency? We've talked about this before. Dependency typically is what holds us in an uncomfortable situation. Even in life or death, when we're dependent on someone, that fear of letting them go, that discomfort of letting them go, can create that obstacle for them and for you. So as we get more comfortable with letting go, like really letting go, that we will see how smoothly we can move through some of the most difficult situations and how much we can be in center. So right now I want, we're going to go listen to a song. And the purpose of this is, the song is called Fear of Flying. And the reason I want you to listen to this song is to connect to that discomfort, to sit there, and with the name of the song, Fear of Flying. When we let go, we get to take flight. So close your eyes, and I want you just to imagine in this moment that you're on that edge. You're on that edge of the canyon. You can bring in the awareness of the Grand Canyon if you've been there, or any deep canyon that goes into the earth, and see all the layers and layers and layers upon our existence, billions of years, as a matter of fact. So that what we know in this moment is very, very little. And actually our life is just like a blink. It's a speck. Billions of years this planet has been around. So what we know is very, very little. We have very limited history, and we don't even know if it's all fiction or fact. So go into this song, Fear of Flying. Welcome in any discomfort you might have in your life, just so you can play around with it a little bit, and allow yourself just to sit in it and notice where you're fighting yourself, where the ego's engaged, where it's an emotional response, a physical response, and see where it takes you, and just allow yourself to be with it.
Thank you.
gently breathing in and out, and welcoming in the use of the breath to move any energy that you happened upon, the energy of discomfort, and just connecting and remembering of those moments in the past where you let go and how good it felt in the future when that energy field was gone. Now we have a choice in this lifetime to carry this stuff around and fill up a lot of luggage, trunks, metaphorical trunks, with stuff, with grievances, with sorrow, with pain, with suffering. Or we can liberate ourselves at every moment. It's that simple. We just decide, do we want to go back to center? Or do we want to be in this dance, this push and pull back and forth within ourselves that keeps us from moving forward and getting to where we need to go? So this is the act. Once we recognize where the suffering is or the pain or the obstacle is and where the discomfort is and where the clinging is, and then we decide we're ready to let go or we're ready to find another path to where we thought we were headed and see what happens along the way. If each and every one of us could remember that for every action, there's a reaction. For every cause, there's an effect. So if I walk over here and do something, it can impact the next person that walks up or someone that intercedes my path. And when the universe gives us a sign of an obstacle, that means, hello, you're not to go this way. Or you know what, I know this hurts, but this is where this cycle ends. And guess what? A new one is beginning. So in extreme cases where you feel like you've lost everything or lost someone and you feel like the universe has it in for you, you realize that in that moment when you release that perception of an obstacle, when you decide, okay, I'm going to surrender to this and I'm going to be bigger than it, then we can move past it. So I found this earlier just by serendipity, so I'm going to read it. The secret of health for both mind and body is not to mourn for the past, worry about the future, or anticipate troubles, but to live in the present moment wisely and earnestly. And this quote is from an anonymous Buddha. So again, the secret of health for both mind and body is not to mourn for the past, worry about the future, or anticipate troubles, but to live in the present moment wisely and earnestly. So this is a beautiful way for us to enter into how we start moving past these obstacles. And that is to be present in the moment, to be present with what is unfolding around us. And when we are in that present moment awareness, we can be so much more clear for ourselves and for everyone involved. So think back to any of those moments where you really, really were holding on so tight and you wouldn't let go and you really wanted to convince someone of something and you wanted them to believe you or to do it a certain way. And if you just let go, even if you were right, but you let go, then what happens is you allow for the next situation to occur so all conditions can align. So this is a really important fact in math and physics, and happens to be taught in different forms of Buddhism, is that when all conditions align, then the situation shall occur. And until then, there might be obstacles, there might be sending you in different directions. So this is where the yin energy, the earth, the feminine energy is so important, that often we're to take action, plant the seeds in the soil, and then wait. Take action, and then wait. Water the garden, see the seedlings pop up, and then wait. It takes space, that opening, that expansion, creating that space to allow for all conditions to align. And then we take action again. So think about that. You take action and you create space. Imagine at your job, you want to maybe get that new account. Or imagine in a relationship, you want to take it to the next step. Rather than push, 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 and then hoping that it comes through, and the person that's received all those pushes is feeling a little suffocated, it's better to maybe think about plant a seed, take action, and then give it space. Or give it space, plant a seed, take action. Play with it a little. And when you're in a situation that you really feel vulnerable in, giving it space is the best thing you can do. When you don't know the answer, when you're reacting out of emotion, out of fear, out of grief, that those are those moments that you can be still with yourself and realize, wow, I'm going to allow all this energy that doesn't feel so great just to work its way through me so I don't have to share it with the rest of the world. So this is another important thing, and this is a selfless act. When you are in that 911 situation, when you're hitting an obstacle face on, if you spend a lot of time speaking and sharing that with the world, one, you're avoiding moving forward because you're perpetuating yourself in the suffering, in the drama, and you're also using up all those precious resources and forgetting that the magic happens within that space. Holding the space, holding the energy field for all possibilities is where that magic occurs. So we have first to identify the discomfort, sit in the discomfort, and then decide how you're going to move forward by taking action, planting seeds, and giving it space. So let's talk about how we can practice just in a practical way on a daily basis with, one, reducing the amount of obstacles we create, and then also connect to the possibility of every moment with presence. So if we think about what happens, we're in this instant gratification epoch of the human civilization on planet Earth. We have all this social media that indicates that we need things faster, quicker, less substance, and more distractions. Now, when we're doing that, we're spinning really fast. And then maybe we don't notice that things have to stop until we're impeded or we're physically stopped. Emotionally, mentally, our physical body shuts down. So the way that we can practice and minimize the obstacles on a daily basis is first being present. Second is to listen more and to talk less. If you ever notice and you want to observe in a room, you can ask a lot of questions and you can notice who wants to be heard, and they talk. They can't stop talking because they so desperately want to be heard. No one's there listening to them. So how you can be in service in that moment is to be the person that's listening, is to be the one that shows up and holds space for them, listens. You'll be surprised what you hear in those moments and what maybe you are to take away from that moment. In addition, if you notice that you're talking, to yourself for a moment and say, it's funny, I can't talk right now. Stop for a moment and then ask a question and give someone else a turn, an opportunity to speak. The simple mechanism of listening and speaking and reducing the amount of things that are said will really expand so you'll know where you need to be. So, simple practice, listen more, talk less. And what are you going to do? You're going to create space. So you listen, you take it into your heart center, and then what? Then you decide, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? What am I going to email to someone? What am I going to post in Facebook? What am I going to post in Twitter? Whatever, wherever it might be. What am I going to say in that presentation at work? How am I going to shift how I think so I don't keep creating obstacles? So from there, let's talk about thinking. Thoughts, the clear mind is the way, if you can have your mind clear for the majority of your day, rather than thinking or worrying and all these things, you're going to be in service to yourself and the universe. You will have less obstacles because you won't be creating them. Our thought forms are the worst thing that we can have come forward because they sabotage us. We put it out there. We put out the negative thought form before the worry, all those things, the justification, the anger, the projections, whatever it might be. If it's in your mind, you are the one creating it, right? So it may or may not be a fact. So right now, I was recently talking to someone, you know, our human level of consciousness right now is pretty low because everyone's pretty buzzed out and tuned out to what? A cell phone. We've talked about this before. Technology. They think, wow, we're so advanced. We are actually so not advanced. The more I contemplate this, I think some of our primates were more advanced and are more advanced than us because we don't have the ability to connect to our Earth system and know, like right now, how many people know the star constellations, every single one of them, and can go out and know what time of year it is? How many people have the wherewithal to go through the forest and live off the forest and track where they're to go, make structure for themselves in the forest, and be perfectly comfortable? How many human beings on this planet can do that right now? So we're very removed from this knowing. So when we clear the mind, one, we're going to be more in tune to what's happening around us, less substances coming in and out of that thought, less projections out on each other. And guess what? That allows you, when you're facing some dire situation or a perceived obstacle within a relationship or at work, you're able to have the space within your mind to give it critical thinking, both left and right hemisphere. It's really important to engage the analytical with the creative mind. And guess what? The intuition is the center. That is the piece, the mechanism that connects with that pineal gland that activates us and gives us clear knowing. So the activation between both hemispheres, the ability to use both hemispheres, creating critical thinking, creating more space in your mind so you can actually maneuver more skillfully through a situation. Now, you can think about certain people that aren't able to do this on a day-to-day basis, may not be able to show up and navigate just simple situations. I see this all the time with the youth. They're so entranced with digital forms that they're not able to navigate the world around them. This summer, I think I've mentioned it before, there was a boy. He wasn't paying attention, riding his bike. He got hit by the car. After he was hit, they put him in a sling. Fortunately, he was okay. They put him in a sling. Okay, this is how universe works. And then they give him an iTouch or iPod thing. And what is he doing? He's walking. And again, he walks into the street. He's not paying attention. He almost runs into a tree. This doesn't allow for us to be fully aware when we're engaged in something that has nothing really to do with our physical world around us. So to think about this, if you're having obstacles, how present are you in your everyday life and how clear is your mind? When that mind is clear, you can engage both hemispheres. You can be present with whoever's in front of you and you will have more awareness for the best next step. If you're in business meetings, I strongly suggest every executive have your staff put the phones at the door. They can check them back out when they leave. There's no reason for to have a meeting if everyone else is going to be conducting business elsewhere. So the simple practice of listening more, speaking less, and clearing the mind so we can welcome in being in center, critical thinking, activating both the left and the right hemisphere so we can be in alignment with self. Now, that alignment with self, that center alignment, will improve our concentration, our ability to focus. Right now, we've created mayhem for ourselves on the internet. We've created facts that aren't true. This recent storm that we just had, people were posting, I was watching, they were posting pictures that weren't even actual, but they believed they were. They didn't even have the wherewithal to stop and think, I'm going to back check this. Just because some friend on Facebook posts a picture, that does not mean it's true. So we've gotten so accustomed just to going with whatever's in front of us, and if it arrived in 2 seconds, we can surely blast it out in 2 seconds. Take some time to back check things. So as we're removing these obstacles, as we're moving forward, we can also check in with a few other things. One is that we employ letting go. We talked about that earlier, cutting off bonds of attachment. So if you're holding on to something, that's an attachment. If you really have to prove something to someone, again, an attachment. Does it serve you? Does it serve the, all the people that are bonded to you with that attachment? If you're so attached to someone or many people, think about it. And if it's not healthy anymore, cut off the bonds of wherever that attachment might be. It'll allow you and the other energetic fields that are connected to that to expand, to release and move forward and to fly. Also, allowing yourself, again, that space, the womb energy, the feminine energy creates space for what? Human life to be cultivated. When there's no baby being cultivated in the womb, there's a space there to create other things. And the womb is this magical, magical place that creates that void, that place where all things are possible and everything can, again, come to center. When we give ourselves that opportunity, we can take that moment to be and then decide how we want to take action. So the next thing is to be mindful of two things. One, how is your judgment? Where is the attachment coming in? And where are you holding on? And that which you're retaining, is it serving or is it not? So if it's not serving, let it go. Actually, if you're retaining something, if think about in your home, your office, if you're retaining records, if you're retaining old love letters, if you're retaining old music, all these things. If you're hoarding energy, just piles and piles of energy, I don't think we ever need to manufacture anything else on this planet for a good couple hundred years. We could probably repurpose so many things or do slight modifications or trade stuff for a while. So again, if you are holding on to stuff, physical, emotional, mental, all those things, release them, get rid of it. Release energy, throw it away. That will help release the obstacles. It'll help release the energy fields that are holding you back. So, and then as you do this, guess what? You're going to become more efficient. You're actually going to become more adaptable because we become more adaptable and easygoing when we're used to letting things go. Oh, okay, that's done. That relationship's over. Okay, I can move on. I'm not going to stay here for 3 years and cry about it. I'm going to move on. Today I'm supposed to move on. Not in 10 years. If that's how you have to learn to be able to move on, that's okay. You'll do that until you're ready to do it at a pace that will allow you to keep flowing with the universe. Now, the last aspect that I want to talk about here is, or actually two, is desire. Desires are what perpetuate our suffering here on planet Earth. Desires are those things, the sensation, pop culture, media, all these things. People are like, well, that's what's fun. That's what it's about. Okay, yeah, maybe on some level it is about coming here and going, let's just use the analogy of going in the candy store. We go in the candy store and we try out the lemon heads, we try out the chocolate, we try out the caramel. Oh, we don't like the coconut chews. We try out the lollipops, we try out that huge jawbreaker. Oh, we want those fizzy things. And wow, oh wow, there's cakes and cookies. And oh my gosh, we try it out all. And guess what happens? Oh, we're sick. We're sick to our stomach because we tried out everything we desired. We just went hog wild. And now we don't ever want to eat any of that stuff for a while. Then we might come back and go to that candy store again and try it out again. But then we don't feel so good. And wow, why did I do that? So these desires can get out of control. This is where we have dependency, addiction. This is where we overconsume all things on this planet. So to really keep those desires, keep it mindful. Really be mindful with what you're taking in. And then you can use a simple thing, bring in gratitude. Keeping that which you crave healthy. Maybe it's healthy to have a desire for a really fine piece of chocolate versus one that is made of a bunch of chemicals, modified substances that actually aren't even meant for your biology. So keep that in balance. And again, if you've opened up your ears, talking less, cleared the mind, you're going to be a little bit better to critically think that it's not so great to consume your child's entire trick-or-treat bag of all this candy that is not even real food or even close to it. So think about it that way. And then the final thing is what we seem to miss out on when we're faced with an obstacle is that we forget that everything that we could possibly need is right at our disposal. We've talked about this before, food, water, and shelter. Gaia has provided us with everything we need. We don't need to figure anything out, really. The scientists might be really curious, but Gaia has provided us with everything we need. She's provided us with water. We need to drink water. She's provided us with what? Materials to make shelter if we want. And guess what? She's also provided us with caves. If we want to go in the cave, we can be in a cave and have shelter. In addition, she's provided us with all the food we could ever need. All these amazing exotic fruits, all these different grains, anything you can imagine. We have it. It's possible. And then on top of that, people, the human species, got really creative with all these different things they could make. And then they decided, well, forget that. We're going to try to do better. We're going to do it in a lab. And we're going to make it synthetic. Well, it's totally not necessary. And guess what? The ancient scriptures, the quote-unquote ancient scriptures, tell us what all these plants do and how they can take care of our ailments. So we've gone through this huge cycle. We're coming back around saying, whoa, we have all the knowledge, we have all the wisdom, and now it's going to be time to regenerate the entire planet so the human species can live in harmony and healthy with our planet. So anything that you need is there. And food, water, and shelter, that's all we need. From there, you know what? It's a choice. You feel like you really need to sit in a race car. Well, it'll be really cool when we get to a level of consciousness where we'll just instantly manifest that which we want to experience on an energetic level. That Ferrari can appear. You'll take a little for a test ride, and guess what? Then you'll take your consciousness, dissolve the matter, and let it take on a new form. So that's where we could be headed in the future. When we realize from a 3D density form, everything we need is right here before us. So in any given moment, when you're feeling overwhelmed, you feel like an obstacle, remember that everything we need is here. And on a quantum level, everything we need is right here. It's that simple. We just have to remember and connect to our practice of stillness, of meditation, of being with ourselves, and creating what? The space to allow for the next. So all of this other stuff that we do is creating these obstacles for ourselves. So from the top, we can take time to sit in the discomfort because we are the nemesis. Our mind is the nemesis. We create these situations. If two people don't like each other, don't hang out with each other. If you're ready to move on and one person isn't, well, the one person that isn't is going to have to surrender to that moment and say, okay, I have to let go, but maybe something even more special is on the horizon. So sit with the discomfort, then from there, take the time to be in solitude and meditation, and then from there, remembering that we can do these simple things of, one, engaging our left and right hemisphere, clearing our mind through meditation and contemplation. We can listen more, speak less. We can consciously remove the things physically, mentally, in our body that no longer serve, cut off the bonds and attachments. Then we could take time to contemplate and then move forward. Really be present in the moment so that you can make really critically sound choices in each moment. Take that space. There's no rush. We're spinning through space. This isn't going to end. We're going to keep having these emanations. This planet tells us so. It's billions and billions of years old. So I'm certain we've done this many times over in some form or another. And then just to remember that everything we need is right here. So if you take that space to just contemplate that everything we need is right here, and how am I going to align myself within my inner code of conduct, within my inner code of ethics, and help cultivate that for self and others, and not create more obstacles. So as you move forward, you can take some of these thoughts and concepts and practice them in your everyday life. Minimize the distractions so that you can really be present when an obstacle occurs, that you can say, okay, I got to move this way, I got to move that way, and see what happens, what unfolds. So as we sign out tonight, one, I just want to thank you for being here in this moment and sharing this space with me and taking the time just to contemplate who you are and connecting to your inner self. When we do this inner work, we're not even just helping this moment on planet Earth in this perceived year of 2012. Guess what? We're helping our entire world system. We're helping the universe. The clearer we are with our code, our energetic being, the clearer we are going to be in the next. And it doesn't go away. Sometimes you might step back and say, oh, I want to try to be that person again. You're like, oh, that didn't really work. So I applaud you just for listening and being here. And now I'm going to talk less. We're going to sign out with a song called Existence. Sit back, relax, and just allow yourself to take in everything that was shared. Take in your own energy and ask, are you ready to move past any obstacle that's put in front of you? And what will be next? That's the fun. What will unfold in the next? Until next time, this is She signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, and a namaste.